Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this. Talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Fire Team Chat, IGN's Destiny Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. And joining us in the studio, I'm very happy to announce, is Pope. Pope, how's it going?
Awesome.
The Pope.
The Pope. Am I the Pope? I think the guy in Rome has me beat. But.
Well, those for listening on audio, he's Pope Bear.
It is Pope Bear.
Okay. Not the Pope.
Totally different people. But yeah, it's been a great week. We got a lot of good information from Bungie and... excited to talk about it.
So much information. We brought two guests. Grenader Jake is also here.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
You happen to be in town, so yeah. We ended up like, all right, let's do two guests, see how that goes.
Yeah, I'm on a cruise, and it stopped by San Francisco for the day, and I was like, hey, we can make this work.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
We had to do Thank was boot off CJ and Sean.
Yeah, that's it. They're gone.
And we don't need them anyway. It's fine.
And, of course, Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
Hey, everybody. So... on today's show, we have some interesting topics. We're going to ask the guys and give our own opinion on what Bungie needs to hear because there is a new, let me make sure I get it right, Destiny Community Summit upcoming. So what feedback do we think that they absolutely need to hear during that time? We're also going to talk about how random rolls and weapon slot changes will impact the game. Will it be tremendous or not so much? And then also, are you excited about the tease that SIPA may be coming back and just general notes about the May update? All right, so let's start off the top. You're actually going to the Destiny Community Summit, correct?
I am. Yes.
You are. None of us are. So the question I want to pose is, what feedback does Bungie absolutely need to hear at this event?
I think that right off the top, they need to hear from the community that they need to act, right? They need to do something and do something quick. Mm-hmm. And that I think that we are all in agreement that, you know, they need to take some risks and make some real jumps into what changes that the player base wants. Mm-hmm. It's I think they've been really safe up until this point, and some of these updates are taking longer. For example, the sandbox update, I would have liked to have seen that a month or two into the game being out. So I think that they need to hear that we need some risks to be taken and for Bungie to be okay with failing.
But Pope, they adjusted the percentages by 0.6% for the... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying, you mean like real dramatic changes.
Yeah. But
faster, it sounds like you're saying too. I'm with you. Yeah. It was like there's such a polished studio, and that's what we talk about on this show all the time. I love how polished they are. I mean, that's what makes Destiny Destiny. Same time, it's like... I kept saying, I'm like, why don't you just change something in PvP? Yeah. Something. And it took, you know, 6 months.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's what we're all feeling. Then you go and you play Fortnite, right? And you're like, they keep changing stuff all the time.
Yeah,
right?
Literally every day, something
different
happens.
Engine, different team, yeah. Game. But still, that's the world that we're up against now. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Jake? What do you think they need to hear?
I would honestly say the exact same thing. And I've been saying it's just from the beginning, is that they need to do something drastic. And I posted a tweet about it a couple months ago that people kind of latched onto. I compared it to almost like Destiny is having a serious heart attack right now. They need to get into surgery and they need to go for it in order to, you know, be okay. And instead, Bungie's kind of prescribing them some medicine. Mm-hmm. Mid a heart attack, like, hey, maybe take this. It might help a little bit. It's like, no, we need some serious action. We need something really dramatic to happen. And what frustrates me is, and I forget the guy's name, but he just posted a video a day before the sandbox update came mm-hmm. out and told us, hey, we're taking huge risks in this sandbox update. You're going to feel crazy changes. Thank you. Thank you for the name. The hand cannons are coming back. You're going to see monstrous plays. And I watched that video and I was like, I'm so excited for tomorrow. They're doing it. They finally are taking these huge risks that we've needed them to do. I play it 10 hours that day. it's the smallest difference. Like, yeah. It's almost like they took a little baby step, but said they took a giant leap. And it was, it's almost like the, to go back to the question, what do they need to hear? They need to hear that that's not enough. They need to take a more dramatic step. If that was their version of a risk, they need to redefine what a risk is for them. They need to go for something bigger.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. It's kind of a communication problem, right? Because, like, I was reading back, the Nightfall changes were one of the changes that I was most excited about, unique Nightfall rewards. And they come out, and the community is just kind of like a ghost and sparrows and a ship. Like, sure, the guns are cool. The guns are fun to chase. But
did you get it? Silicon Aroma?
What?
Did you get Silicon Aroma, the PvP sniper? I mean, the sniper.
I did not. And, Bran, you ran it how many times?
I ran it for, like, it was actually about five or so hours. That's still a long time.
You ran it like 14 times and you got it. But that grind's okay. Grinding that long for a ghost that gives you 25% increase of XP on Nessus.
Less.
Come on. A little less exciting.
But I'm like, sorry that you didn't get it.
Not, he's rubbing it in a little bit.
But I didn't get it either. And I played it.
I ran it like five times. And I'm like, I
tried.
I can wait.
Yeah. It was a grind, man.
It was a grind. I didn't get it and I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But sorry, I interrupted to make fun of Destiny.
I don't mind having the chase. I don't mind waiting to get a weapon.
I like the chase. I was excited. I reacted, you know, on stream. I was like, oh my God. And it's a masterwork.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I had the feeling. Then I used it. I do like it. I'm not a sniper. I like it in PvP. It's actually pretty good, but it's not a game changer. Mm-hmm. And that's what's missing. If I told you guys the game changes when you play Nightfall and there's this Galahorn at the end you get, you'd probably come back and play. That's what we need.
So the unique Nightfall rewards for me meant something different than what they presented. Mm-hmm. In my, you know, go back to what Luke Smith said, you know, when we defeat a boss, we want to wear their ass as a hat, right? Yeah. We want a piece of them to be for us. And I think of like what Monster Hunter does is in unique rewards from bosses. Is a good prescription for this. Nightfall rewards really would have given us an opportunity to get unique armor, weapons that represented the,
accomplishment,
the play style or the defense of that boss, right?
And that's how it was in D1. You could get armor pieces and weapons from,
So the Shield Brothers gave you the arms for the Titan that looked like theirs, you know, the Scion Flares.
Just like the raid, right?
The Scion Flares capes were really unique.
Oh, those were awesome.
Right. Yeah. So I was, in my mind, that precedent had already been set, and it was what I was expecting. And I think that that's also why there was a letdown.
Yeah. So, well, in addition, they delayed it. And here's what Christopher Barrett actually said. With today's update, we've moved a few items out to later releases. This is because we are trying to ensure each feature we add hits a sufficiently high quality bar. So while we really want to get Nightfall Strike unique weapons into your hands next week to coincide with the Nightfall scoring, it's more important that each of those rewards live up to the difficulty it will take to earn them. They will have to be super cool. So we're giving the artists extra time to make sure they are super cool. And what we got was two sparrows, a ship, and a ghost that gives you 25% XP boost on Nessus.
Super
and it's,
cool.
It's just kind of like the communication there, it's misleading. And that's what bothers me because like, oh, I'm super excited. I can't wait to try out all these new weapons. And it was really a bummer because I love running the Nightfall. I like doing it in Destiny 1. You got some really cool loot. Who remembers farming Omnigul?
Yeah, of course.
For grass. You probably
everybody did it.
Yeah.
Everybody did it.
Two blues.
Yeah.
Huh?
Two blues.
Yes, right?
Yeah. But I missed that, and I thought it was going to come back, and now it's not. And hopefully they address that in the future.
I will say one thing, which is I never care about the ghosts and the sparrows. And not that much. Sparrows a little more. Ghosts, I keep complaining because you just don't see them. It's like, can you inspect me and look at my ghost?
Yeah, right,
I keep asking for same type of idea. I'm like, what if I got a ghost from Pyramidian that does this cool thing, and when I equip it, like, for example, if I did Crimson Days, then it's dropping rose petals behind me, just like an aura. Anyway.
Every time you bring out your ghost, it's like the size of your body.
Yeah, sure. But the point is I want stuff to show off. But I was just going to point out that I was most excited about the weapons. We have only seen the sniper so far, and it's not bad. It's not a game changer, but I am interested to see. Right. We don't know for sure about the auto and the and the hand cannon.
Yeah, I think you're correct.
So we'll see. But yeah, it doesn't give me a ton of hope where it's like some game changer. It's not an exotic game changer. In fact, that's what I'm waiting for, and I think we talk about it later, but what's coming with the expansion, and I'm way more excited about that than what they've been doing with Nightfalls.
So I even gave them the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, all right, week one's a sniper. That's cool. They'll probably do the hand cannon AR, and then we'll get the May update, or we'll be really close, and they'll add more weapons to the loot pool. Nope, next week it's a ghost.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, oh man, come on, you guys.
Love you know, and it was underwhelming based on my experience and my expectation of what Nightfalls should have in the past.
Yeah.
That in itself, the ghost, exotic ghost dropping in an activity and not hidden in Eververse, is a positive thing.
Yeah.
That so is, I don't, I do want to say that that is a good move in the right direction, but it is underwhelming based on the fact that we were expecting something different.
Yeah.
But if we compare it to the Eververse Ghost, the Eververse Ghost gives you XP across all
the
areas,
cosmic, whatever.
Right? Yeah.
So there's lots of different ones, and this one isn't bad. It they all have a planetary location. Mm-hmm. That they exemplify, but this one also
A Nessus one,
I think. Right? But then it has an overarching perk on it.
Okay,
yeah, they're all the exotic books, all the exotic ghosts have an overarching perk that is cool. Like for example, there's one that everybody wants their sparrow to summon quickly.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
sure. So there's one No matter what you're doing, every sparrow summons quickly. So you can choose a sparrow that has more lateral adjustment or another perk on it, and then be able to summon it quickly.
Yeah.
So I do like the concepts of the perk of those exotic ghosts, but when we go back to it as being a Nightfall reward based on our expectations, it's where we are now.
So I'll give you that. I'll just say there are additional things to chase, and that is good. However, they should have been in addition to a core thing, like a piece of armor or weapon.
Yeah. I think you put it the right way, actually, which is, let's remember, we asked for something I could chase, and I know that I'm going to get it, it's crazy that that was a problem in the launch of Destiny 2. But we did get that, at least.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Now the problem is the actual expectation of the reward and what we wanted is not what we thought.
The feedback we're giving is better.
I have a feeling with what you're going to see is – that's what they're working on for September or whatever.
Sure.
They can't get there. But like that doesn't help us now, which goes all the way back full circle at the beginning.
It's just another small step. It's just they keep doing these small steps. And again, it's in the right direction. So you got to admit that it's a good thing that they're doing that. But how much time do we have with all these small steps before people are like, I can't take it anymore and go to other games and stay at other games?
Well, I think they are.
They did.
Well, some people already are.
A lot of PUBG. People.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, I can't match.
I can say I'm playing God of War.
It's hard to match on PC. Right now, it's just hard to
play. The population is really low.
Here's the thing. A lot of people are going to play other games, right? But if Bungie does something great, most of them, or at least some of them, will come back. The longer that they take these small steps, the longer they keep dragging this out, making it so little movements keep happening, the less people will come back when the big move does happen.
Yeah.
Which is why I keep hoping to do it soon, make something happen soon, before you save the game in a year and a half and it's the best game we've ever experienced, but only 5% of the community is there to play it.
Don't cry wolf.
Yeah.
This is the change that's going to change everything.
Yeah.
It's so dramatic. We took big risks, and then you get that reaction. I get my reaction.
I think there's also an openness that – a risk that they're taking with giving us a roadmap, giving us expectations – they just have to improve that communication piece of of setting those expectations. I think there's something that you see in the weekly update, the TWAB, that they put in there, that the Go Fast update was when people like Fallout Plays did research on, are we going faster?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer really is no, we're not really going faster. We're running the same. Everything's the same.
Mm-hmm.
And the response in the TWAB this week was that, hey, they tried to increase the sprint speed and things like that, and there was technical challenges, and they're still working on that. It seems like that was a response we also saw on Twitter, where they said that one of the reasons why that happened is because it was breaking the game in that we were going too fast in load times.
Mm-hmm.
And so that came from Bungie. I believe it was
Chris
Barrett or something.
After Fallout Plays identified the speed changes.
No, this was something that was said earlier before that, but we saw Fallout talk about how, we're not getting any faster. And then we saw the TWAB where they explained that. Yeah. I feel like that when we see movement modes like the Dawnblade and, on PC, you can get a Titan to skate.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's really fun.
Yeah.
And they don't seem to break the game in that way. I want to challenge them to that answer, right? And say, okay, well, it doesn't look like you gave Dawnblade the ability to move super quick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think anybody's talking about sprint speeds being increased to that level.
It could be but how does that work? It works on console, okay? I haven't tried it, but I assume
so. Dawnblade? You can't do the Titan skating. But the correlation doesn't match up to me. The answer of it might break the game because we're moving too quickly, it doesn't correlate with the fact that Dawnblade is built to be fast.
Yeah.
Right? So I'd like us to go fast.
Yeah. Totally agree.
I agree.
I haven't heard from Fran. Fran, what do you think they need to hear the most?
I think we're saying a lot of it already. I think, honestly, whatever they intend to show, whether it's the expansion 2 and just get an early peek and some feedback and how much they want to peel the wrapper off of maybe what's coming later in the year, I think it's just very dependent on it. Because my guess is they're going to hear a lot of what they've already heard. I feel like that's what we're talking about. But once they say, wait, guess what? But we are working on those exclusive Nightfall rewards. And yeah, they're not coming until September, by the way, but you can't tell anyone. Then you'll get the feedback. You're like, I want them sooner. So I feel like they'll get a lot of that, but hopefully out of that, they suddenly will have that connection with the community. And yeah, I think that's what's missing is just like you just had it, the understanding. They really need the community, the people they're inviting, to understand what's taken so long. Mm-hmm. And as much as they say, we're going to tell you guys what's up, we're going to be more open, it's still not quite there. Mm-hmm. But hey, they're a classic AAA game studio. You know, they were not used to this world of having to, you know, operate like you see new games coming out like PUBG and just like they release a map that's completely unfinished.
Yeah.
Which frankly, it's super janky. I don't know whether that's
very fun. Savage is a
there
very
you go.
Fun map.
It's got its benefits. Yeah. And it's sure. And that is what I see as the difference. Bungie does not come from that world. They're adapting, bringing that AAA polish into this new world.
If you're going to show us something early, show us something really early. Yeah. And I think we're a little bit more understanding as gamers when we see what you're working towards.
Yeah. You know? Fortnite's Battle Royale was built in about 3 months. It used 6 years or whatever of game development.
Yeah.
But if you look at that, some people can move very quickly. And I think that's, again, the world we're in, it's a little hard for people to understand when they're seeing other games like snap around and, and just do crazy stuff.
For sure. Next topic, a little bit more into Jake's realm. We're going to talk about, they sort of hinted that they might be bringing back random rolls, but the phrasing is a little murky.
Murky.
And, weapon slot changes are definitely coming, that they did say clearly. And how will that impact the game? Will it be tremendous or do you think it'll be enough? I think weapon slot changes would be pretty significant if we get the Destiny 1 slotting, basically.
It was significant for Destiny 2. Should change that.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think?
It's hard to know, honestly, until you actually experience it. And I answer questions like this pretty frequently where it's like, you know, how is this going to change the game? And like, you think you know what's going to happen and then you experience it and it can be completely different. Yeah. But I do think that one of the things that made people love PvP in Destiny 1, made people keep playing trials even though nobody needed the rewards. Everybody hated getting stuck by fusion nades, but they kept playing trials.
Yeah.
There was that excitement factor. And what I mean by that is any round, at any time, something really insane can happen. You can run in with a no land beyond, an icebreaker, a shotgun, clean out three people, just 1, 2, 3, and everybody goes crazy and, oh my God, that just happened. And it kind of led people to not only keep playing it, but to keep watching it on YouTube, on Twitch, because they knew at any moment that could happen. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Destiny 2, they did make a little bit of a step in the right direction by adding power bricks to drop from random people. Well, not random. Once they have power, you kill them, they drop power. So it means power ammo is more consistently in the game. But still, it's nowhere near where it was. In Destiny 2, it's much more like, round starts, the coolest thing that could happen is maybe he throws a nade and anti-opes two people, and that's pretty cool, but it doesn't get me going, oh my God, you know?
Yeah, because you can't use a sniper and a shotgun or whatever, right?
Right, right. But that team wipe, even ability, even if it doesn't happen, even if there's 3 straight hours where no crazy montage play happens, knowing that it could was enough to keep people on the edge of their seats and keep people excited and wanting to keep playing. So I'm excited for the potential. I definitely think if they do it right, it could make it so the game is much more exciting to play and watch than it is now.
And then on the weapon front, here's what Hamrick actually said. There are solutions being looked at, and we're looking at ways to bring that back. So he doesn't say random rolls specifically. It seems like he's hinting towards that. He's being a little vague. And then he also said, we are working on a new system and we will have more to show and tell this summer when asking about slot changes. Mm. So it seems like these go hand in hand and we'll be introduced to them shortly. What do you think about that?
It's something that he said that has got me interested in the expanded quote of that. He references what the studio is hearing from your feedback is that you want more control over your slot build. Yeah. And I think that there's tons to explore there. He may be even hinting at something like a Call of Duty type pick six, or you know, their system for what are you doing with your weapons?
Whatever you want in whatever slot you want.
I mean, I don't know.
Like maybe there's a cost associated with weapon types. So like you can't just do three snipers. You
know? I've always appreciated that in Call of Duty is building your own loadout. It gave you that flexibility. I enjoyed being, spending time in crafting that. And there's costs for putting in a character that's really light and, doesn't have footprints and, mm-hmm. It's a sneaking class that costs a lot. So you lose out on, another weapon that is very powerful. So, I mean, he's hinting at that there's a lot on the table. Mm-hmm. I think there's. Throw it to you guys. What other ways can they do that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it would be really fun if they could do like the Call of Duty system where they allow you to adjust your character build, which they already sort of do, and they are working on armor mods soon.
Yeah,
and well, I'm sorry, they're redoing exotics, yes. To be specific. And it would be really interesting to see what they do with the new weapon system. I would like to see just put whatever you want, wherever you want, but you have to weigh it out properly, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, I think we're all – part of us seems to be avoiding just being like, what's wrong with Destiny 1? Like, just put it back at that. I actually do have a few issues, but I think we're also searching for some new magic bullet. I don't know why, actually. Like, maybe Destiny 1 was fine and just restore that. Understanding it's a very different, ecosystem, and maybe it's 4v4, PvE has been mapped out differently. But yeah, I do think that could just be said, which is maybe they're just going to bring it back and be like, mm-hmm. yeah, we flipped it and they have to rejigger things with that, the way bosses work and whatever. But maybe that's all they're doing. But then, yeah, I do think it's interesting that there were problems in Destiny 1 and that's what they were trying to fix. So maybe there is something risky and new to try. And what I'm thinking about is like, is bringing Destiny 1 slotting back enough to bring you guys back? I'm curious.
Let me elaborate on that question for you, Jake.
Okay.
If they turned on Destiny 1 Trials, would you be playing it?
Oh, that question. Ooh. Oh, man, I hear that one a lot. Yeah. I bet you most people think I'm going to say yes, but I'm not going to.
Why?
So people tend to forget it, but they did not leave Destiny 1 in a very good place. And I kind of spoke about it a little bit before. But you just, there's the special ammo is a problem right now in Destiny 1. And everyone's running two fusion nades. Mm-hmm. So it's still exciting. You can put on a No Land Beyond. You can get sniper ammo. You can make crazy cool plays happen. But I don't think it offsets the frustration of consistently getting stuck by fusion nades. I mean, mm-hmm. they come back every 20 seconds. And you have two of them. Mm-hmm. So they didn't leave it in a very good place. And I think that going back and simply unlocking it again is such a step in the wrong direction. I want to see them try to do something like that for the game that we're currently playing. Mm-hmm. Not like, oh God, we screwed up so bad that we're going back to our old game. Because that's just, it sends the wrong message to me. And again, I don't think they left it in that good of a spot.
To me, out of ignorance, I don't know why it was ever turned off. Just leave it on. It happens every week. The servers handle
in Destiny 1.
In Destiny 1.
Well, they want you to play Destiny 2.
They do.
That was the
investment. So besides money.
But it's not just
money.
It has
to be money, right?
Well, that's split player base. Right. Can't matchmake. Guess what? That's what I deal with all the time when I try to play.
Yeah, longer matchmaking times right there. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, though. It is simple, though. It's like, why didn't you just leave it on, though? This is the problem. They spent all this money, you're right, on Destiny 2. Their whole team, that's what they work on.
Yeah.
That's what Activision invested in. And if you just turn Destiny 1 on, like, that doesn't solve anything for them. Mm-hmm. It might give us a little bit of fun for a while, but it doesn't help the future. And quite frankly, I'm with you. Like, I love Trials. Everybody's moved on. Like, you can restore it to even a couple updates before they rebalance stuff. And, like, that wouldn't bring everyone back. Like,
yeah.
I still argue that Destiny 2 and the choices they made is not the only problem. The problem is Monster Hunter and Fortnite and Battle Royale games and the state of the fact that, like, quite frankly, Call of Duty World War II, I don't have the numbers, but it's not like it was a horrific gameplay experience or anything. Some people like it, but like, people aren't playing that type of game as much because there's so many freaking options. Mm-hmm. And I just think, that the diversification of how, we are seeing games go in a different direction. Like, to even see games like Splatoon existing, and it's just a different player base today. And I think that's what they need to solve for. So yeah, for me, going back, fixing some of this basic stuff doesn't even solve for the larger problem.
Yeah.
People are just playing different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at least at the core, I know we all love Halo and we loved a lot of pieces of Destiny 1. At least get that plus whatever's next for it. And I think that's what the void in all of our hearts is, that it's like, we loved all that stuff. And then you were going to come in with two, this big thing. Mm-hmm. And that we didn't know what it was either. And they haven't figured it out apparently.
Yeah. Two as a whole just seems like a very odd misstep. I still don't understand.
It's
how
a big two as well. It was very misleading.
Yeah. I don't understand how like you go this far away from what the core of Destiny 1 or what Destiny 1 ended with, you know, being able to select your strikes, being able to select any story mission, like just basic stuff that players should be able to experience.
Yeah, I kind of buy that rumor that halfway through development, right, that game directors had switched and people had left and they only had, call it a year and a half or two, to pick up pieces and rejigger Destiny 2, which is crazy if it's true. Mm-hmm. And that's not – that would explain maybe some of this, like – when Iron Banner launched, I always point that out. I'm like, what happened to Iron Banner?
Yeah.
To me, it was – that was the moment I said, oh, crap. And then
Iron Banner was in such a good place when they left Destiny 1, actually.
Yeah.
And, like, you could do your bounties, you know, clear them out. They got rid of the XP buff thing. It was – it just felt great.
Dude, they came back with some, like, armor designs, and you cashed in the same token system, and then they got rid of power. It was
– in D2.
That was very telling. Meaning I'm not going – I don't want to relive that moment in our Destiny 2 lives. What I'm pointing out is I think they've really been chasing whatever –
you're capped at what, 20 engrams? 10, 20 engrams? I don't remember.
20. Yeah. 20 at a time. They were to cash them in.
That's been fixed, but initially,
But anyway, my point is they really do seem to be chasing their time and their production cycles. Yeah. And yeah, it would be very interesting to see the community get back up there and see if they can get answers. Like, what's up?
Yeah.
What's going on? You know?
Yeah. Do you know when that's happening?
What?
the Destiny Community Summit.
It's on the 19th and 20th.
Yeah. So pretty soon we should be hearing from the community members who attend.
Well, they'll be under NDA, I thought, though, right?
We don't know exactly what we're going to be allowed to talk about and what we're not. I think that to kind of reference what you're talking about, there's two comments on that. One is that I think Destiny is still alive right now because there really isn't any significant challenger that can challenge Destiny that is a Destiny-like game. I think there's games that have elements of it, but there's nothing like it out there. And if there was, it'd be toast. All right. But there isn't. And that's, and it's at its basic level, Destiny's gunplay is phenomenal.
It
draws me in every time I get in there. And if I block myself off from the reward that I'm getting or whatever, and I just jump into an activity and play, the game is fun to play.
Feels so good. Yeah.
Yeah. The core mechanics are great.
The core mechanic. Right. So they have a winning thing there. Mm-hmm. Right. But the other piece of that is I think that what happened is they gambled with Destiny 2 on what it was going to be. And they went in a direction that was a mistake. And they're course correcting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
they popped their three of coins and no drop.
Yeah. Raul was just like, nope, you don't get it. You get a blue.
You're out of anger now.
one thing I do want to say, though, is I'm very impressed with the loyalty of the community as a whole. Mm-hmm. And that might not actually resonate with everyone because so many people were playing Fortnite and so many people were doing other things. Yeah. But this game, Destiny 1, kind of came out of nowhere. And what I mean by that is I wouldn't consider the Destiny community a Halo community. That was a completely different game. Destiny 1 was the start for the community that we have now. And that was the only game. Destiny 2 comes along and, you know, had some issues like we're talking about. But every time there's an update, every time there's something new happening, it absolutely amazes me how many people come back to try it, come back to talk about it, come back to debate it, rather than just leave it behind and not care. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so many games out there where people would just say, I'm done forever.
Right.
I don't care. But people come back and they care.
May is going to be so interesting because, like, are people burned enough that they're just not going to come back? I see that a lot in comments, but I've seen that in the past with, like, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. There was boycott Call of Duty, and all those people ended up playing the game. So with this May update, are people going to continue to play? That's going to be something
I don't think
see.
So.
One note on the May update before we hear your –
That's the one I think we're depending on right now.
It sounds like that they're teasing SIVA will be involved with the May update. Chris Barrett had a little tease where he pretended to be like a robot or whatever. And Big Show also was wearing a SIVA-fied shirt. So do you think SIVA would be an interesting direction to go with this Rasputin?
Is it SIVA or Rasputin?
Well, let's be more clear. It's a war mind.
It's war. Yeah, exactly.
It's war mind. Yeah.
Yeah, we don't know that it's even Rasputin.
We think it's infected with SIVA. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, where do we? I was just wondering where the SIVA part comes from.
Well, well, come on, it's a war mind. It has to be SIVA.
Because you can use those enemies and bring them back to the game. Maybe.
No, no. SIVA SIVA was never a weapon of destruction initially. SIVA was designed as a weapon of, or as a tool of construction.
Yes,
it was what was propelling mankind into the golden era and out and to explore the universe. It helped. It could create anything.
And the fallen were like, cut off my legs and give me robot legs.
So, so I think the problem with SIVA is not like, you know, it's how it was being used. And the war minds, when threatened and attacked by the darkness, chose to protect themselves with what they had. So SIVA is a tool of both creation and destruction.
Would you guys think it, SIVA's coming back?
I 100%.
Well, I hadn't considered it yet, if I'm being honest.
If I'm a war mind and I'm trying to do my thing, do things that war minds do, I'm probably going to use SIVA.
You're a SIVA guy.
Yeah.
All right. It makes sense too because
it looks really cool. I literally
I knew the theory, but I just was connecting. I'm like, actually they have the systems of particles, the enemies, and I'm sure they can expand on it. It actually makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I didn't think about it until right now. I just kept thinking of Rasputin and Warmind and actually that one mission in particular where you first go underneath in the Warmind in Destiny 1. And that was such a cool mission. I forget the name of it now, but
I like that.
I sort of thought the whole next expansion would be in that theme, you know, Russians speaking to you in the background and such.
The French Bungie blog actually screwed up and said something about May 8th. That could be season 3. That could be when this DLC drops. Right. But it does sound like the right window
for an expansion.
Man, I would be so stoked if it was SIVA related or anything. Just do you remember the weapons you would get in that raid? You would actually start out. They would look fairly normal. And then when you fully upgraded the perk tree, they would change their design. Yeah. Like their art team just does a phenomenal job.
Axis was so cool about
Destiny 2 per a second. Yeah. I can't really slight the art team. They're still phenomenal at what they do. It's incredible. And sound design. There's a lot of positive things to say. I think right now, I know I am, and the community is largely stuck in the minutiae right now, the little details. You need time to kill. I need proper strike nightfall rewards, but that's because I'm at endgame and I have nothing left to chase.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, do I want that assault rifle that is no better than the one I have? No. You know, I have the assault rifle that I need.
Yeah, and for clarification too, I do think expansion 2 will bring some folks back. I just keep hoping it's not as devoid as Curse of Osiris. But they have all these changes, so like, frankly, whatever new exotics they're introducing, it's so important that those are the ones that feel amazing that we want to chase, because we have everything. You can't fix something I already have. Like, that's not going
to
help me.
Well, Fran, it's also extremely important to note that you guys talked about SIVA. How much fun was that Outbreak Prime quest?
Yes.
That was so cool.
I mean, so we're getting exotics, right?
Yeah.
But how are we getting those exotics? I think one of the things.
Well, you buy them at Rule.
Right. So one of the things that I think they changed from D1 to D2 is how we accessed our exotics, and they gave more of them to us in the game earlier and easier. I think that that is one of the course correction things that I'm hoping that they're hearing from the community, and that exotics come at the end of a quest or something that you're an activity that you're
like Acrius. I mean, that's
I like the quest system for some exotics, but for all of them, and then the rest are just random. No, like you need secrets, you need Outbreak Prime, you need interesting quest lines.
Well, you need a black spindle for sure.
Yes, yes.
That's the secret one. Those are the ones that you want the community to discover and come across. Yeah. And it made for a great activity, and people gathered together to help each other through. The Outbreak Prime is the same thing. Discovering that and
that was so
cracking
cool.
that code, that's fun. So I'd like to see the exotics go in that direction and move out of that simple loot pool system.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just think, like, maybe with what you were saying, we need to see the diversity, but the really good stuff I think should be more on that line. It's a big secret.
Yeah.
Or
it's not an either or thing, right, Fran?
It's a little bit of all.
You did both in Destiny 1. That was great.
Yeah.
Do that. Keep doing
that. No, that's what surprised me. In some cases you were more likely to get a drop. Well, let's say the vault, right? That's where you were trying to get Galahorn from and like.
Or Vex or.
Well, whatever, the Vex Myth class would only drop Vex.
There.
Those are really good ways of getting an exotic. I think that also what we're seeing here is like the changes to Graviton Lance that they've hinted at, how they're going to be making exotics more exotic is awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to see.
And they're saying that
they're so excited.
They're saying that it increases the time to kill, and that's where they're going to be shaving off that in PvP. And it's something that I've always been excited about. If you're a run and gun SMG person and hunter, why aren't you using Risk Runner? mm-hmm. right? Why yeah. aren't you? Why are you using
a purple?
Yeah. It's, yeah, I know what
you're Antiope,
saying.
Right?
Yeah.
And so.
Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Antiope?
No, it's Antiope.
It's what?
Antiope? We all just yeah. learned.
It's all right. It's Greek. But
yeah. So I'm going to keep calling it Antiope.
Cause you do that.
Course no. correction from Pope.
Yeah. So the it seems like exotics should almost be the cornerstone of some play style, right? And reward yeah. the person for that. And if we see changes to – say for, and not every exotic should be for PvP. Some should be for PvE. Mm-hmm. We look at the PS4 exclusive Sniper Borealis mm-hmm. and being able to shift, its burn on the fly.
I like
something
that,
that is a really good quality of life. Yeah. It makes it fun to play with. But, I want to see those exotics become exotic and, be meaningful.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Lean into it, as they've said. So I'm looking forward to it. Like Sunshot, they've talked about it in the past. I think that hopefully will be a good example where, you know, when we see it, when you shoot someone and they explode and Sunshot everything else great. Starts exploding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hope that's what we see. And we're like, oh my God, you have to use Sunshot. It's so fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if it's crazy, I hope we're at crazy level.
Fatebringer.
Sure.
Right? Fatebringer. Yeah. Go back to Fatebringer.
Mm. Right. Definitely. I think we've kind of gone over everything this week. But before we go, I definitely want to say thank you to both of our guests. Pope, where can people watch your stuff? Definitely Destiny Community Podcast,
yeah.
right?
I think that that's where I'd direct people to, the Destiny DCP Live on Twitter and Twitch and YouTube.
Exact URL address? What's the best?
DCP underscore live.
Cool.
And then just search for us there.
Awesome. Jake, what about you?
All right, so
for those who don't know,
I am GERNADER Jake. So the word's weird. Don't worry about it. I'm Grenader Jake. You can find me on Twitch, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. It's all the same thing. But I spend about 40 to 50 hours a week on Twitch streaming Fortnite right now. But hopefully someday soon it will be mainly Destiny 2 again.
Optimism. I like it. Nice.
Well, hey, thank you guys both for joining us, and thank you everybody for listening. So until next time. Guardians out.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.